The title of the sermon this morning is Raising Champions for Christ, or rather that's the title of the new sermon series that we're starting. We're going to spend the next several weeks on this topic, Raising Champions for Christ. And the title of the sermon this morning is The Purpose of Parenting. And let me just give you the big idea of this entire sermon series. The big idea is this: if our kids are champions on the field, but go to hell, then we've failed them. If our kids are champions on the field, but go to hell, then we've failed them. Now, in our culture, parents place a huge emphasis on their kids succeeding either on the field, in athletics, in academics, in the arts. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But most of these parents are neglecting spiritual success and spiritual happiness. And so if your kid grows up to be hugely successful in the arts, in academics, in athletics, but they don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ and spend eternity in hell, then we have failed them as parents. And so in this sermon series, over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about biblical parenting, and we're not really going to be focusing on raising our kids to be successful and to be champions on the field and in the classroom. We're going to be talking about how to raise our kids to be successful in God's eyes and how to be successful spiritually. Now, we all want to be good parents. And in fact, we all want to be great parents. But if you want to be a good parent, then you have to understand the purpose of parenting. You have to understand what your job is, what you're supposed to do. You can't be a good parent unless you know your purpose as a parent and unless you stay focused on your purpose as a parent. In order to shoot a basketball effectively, you have to keep your eye, what? On the what? What do you have to look at? On the rim. If you want to shoot a basketball effectively, you have to keep your eye on the rim. And if you take your eye off the rim, if you can't see the rim, then you're not going to be able to shoot the ball effectively. And as a parent, it's the same thing. You've got to keep your eye on the purpose of parenting. You've got to be able to know what that purpose is and see it clearly and keep your eyes on the purpose of parenting in order to do your job effectively. Whenever I was in college, that's when Lydia and I met, and she taught me how to play tennis. In fact, that's kind of how we fell in love, on the tennis court. And something about watching a pretty girl hit a tennis ball that just kind of gets you every time. But we fell in love on the tennis court, and she taught me a lot about tennis. And one of the most important principles in tennis is you have to keep your eye on the ball. If you want to hit that ball effectively, make good contact with the ball, you have to keep your eye on the ball. It's the same thing with ping pong, same thing with baseball. You've got to see that ball, keep your eye on the ball. It's the same thing with parenting. If you want to be an effective parenting, if you want to be an effective parent, you've got to keep your eye on the ball, which is the purpose, the goal, the target of parenthood. You've got to know what you're trying to accomplish. You know, if you have a job, and if you want to be successful in your job, then you have to know your job description. You need to know what you're being paid to do. You need to know what your boss expects of you. You need to know how you add value to the company. And you got to stay focused on that. Well, as a parent, to be effective, you've got to know your God-given job description. What exactly are we supposed to do as parents? Now, most parents are very confused about their purpose. They're very, very confused about what they're supposed to be doing as parents. But this doesn't mean that many parents don't have a purpose. God created us to be goal-oriented and purpose-driven people. And so if you don't know your God-given purpose, then what you're going to do is you're going to adopt your own purpose. You're going to either make one up for yourself, or you're going to copy somebody else's purpose. You're going to fall in line with what everybody else is doing. And so many parents, they have a purpose, but their purpose is wrong when it comes to raising their kids. And so let's talk about some of the wrong purposes of parenting. Let me give you six of them. Number one, if you're taking notes, the first wrong purpose is to be rich, to raise my kids to be rich. Now, let me say that I've never met a parent who says that, who says, well, my goal is for my kids to grow up to be rich. There probably are some parents who would say that, but I've never met any. Most parents aren't that vain and worldly. But many parents, that's the way they raise their kids. If you would look at how they're actually raising them, they're pushing their kids hard to succeed in academics or athletics or in the arts, just driving them into excellence. Why? Because they want their kids to succeed financially. They want their kids to do well financially. And the parents place a lot of emphasis on money in their own life. To them, money is super, super important. And so that's what they're pushing their kids to do. Now, the problem with this goal is that money is not evil. However, when you make it your goal to be rich, that leads to all sorts of problems. Your child can grow up to be rich and miserable. Your child can grow up to be rich and have a horrible marriage and be a horrible parent. Your child can grow up to be rich and go to hell when they die. And so your goal as a parent, you definitely need to teach your kids about money. You need to teach your kids about financial management and stewardship. You need to teach them how to work hard and succeed in the business world so they can provide for themselves and take care of their families. I'm not saying that money's unimportant, but if your goal is financial success for your kids, then you're heading in the wrong direction. The second wrong goal is to be happy. I want my kids to be happy. In fact, a lot of times parents say this to their kids, I just want you to be happy. I just want you to be happy. And there's nothing wrong with wanting your kids to be happy. In fact, if you don't want your kids to be happy, we may need to get you checked out. Might be something wrong with you. We want the people that we love to be happy. I want my wife to be happy. I want my kids to be happy. But that cannot be your bottom line goal for two reasons. First of all, sometimes the very best thing you can do to your kids is to make them unhappy. Sometimes the very best thing you can do for your kids is to make them unhappy. That is spanking them and punishing them and rebuking them and denying them the things that are not good for them but that they want, and enforcing the rules that you've set up and making them face the consequences of their irresponsibility and their bad choices. Those are things that you should do as a parent. And if you don't, because you want to make them happy, then you're going to fail as a parent. You're going to set them up for a hard, hard life. Another reason why your goal shouldn't be to make your kids happy is because, according to the Bible, happiness is a good byproduct, but it's a bad goal. Happiness should not be your goal or your kids' goal. Happiness is something that you experience, the Bible calls it joy, whenever you live a godly life. You live a godly life, happiness is inevitable. You teach your kid to live right and to live for God, happiness will come. But if you teach your kid to shoot for happiness, just do what makes you feel happy, happiness will elude them for the rest of their lives. You know, God, His goal is not for you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. He loves you. You're His child. But His goal is not for you to be happy. His goal is for you to be holy. Because God knows, get holy, then get happy. Holiness leads to happiness. Happiness is the byproduct of a holy life, a right relationship with God. And so keep that in mind as a parent. A third wrong goal is that you want your kids to fulfill your dreams. You want your kids to fulfill your dreams. And again, this is like the money goal. Most parents would not admit to this. Most parents wouldn't consciously think this, that I really want my kids to grow up to fulfill my dreams and to do all the things that I didn't accomplish and experience all the things that I didn't get to experience. And so parents push their kids to be things that they think are really important, things that they think are good markers of success and happiness. They push their kids to be doctors or attorneys or politicians or professional athletes or beauty queens. But what's wrong with this? Well, if you push your kids to fulfill your dreams, then you're pushing your kids to be you instead of them. If you're pushing your kids to fulfill your dreams, you're pushing them to be you instead of them. Your kid can never be happy and successful if they're trying to be somebody else. God created each of us unique, and your child needs to pursue God's purpose for them. You see, God has a plan for your child, and a very specific plan, a plan that's tailor-made for them, a plan where they can find the most significance and the most happiness and the most success and make the biggest difference. But if you're pushing your kids to fulfill your dreams, then they can't fulfill God's dreams. They can't live according to God's plan for their life. Here's another goal that's wrong that parents make for their kids. Some parents, their goal is for their kids to make them proud. For their kids to make them proud. Many parents treat their children as trophies, trophy children. They see their children as a reflection of them. And so they use their children to attract attention and praise for themselves. These things are very, very difficult to detect in ourselves, by the way. But a lot of times you can see it in other people. I have a running joke with my kids. Whenever we go someplace, like to the movies or to Walmart, those are the two places we go. Before we get out of the car and go inside, I say, now hold up, kids. Remember, don't embarrass me. That's a running joke because my kids know that I'm the goofball in the family and that I'm the one who embarrasses them. In fact, I take great pleasure in that. Anytime we go somewhere, I love to embarrass my kids. It's just one of those sick things about me. I think Jeremy likes to do that too, I can tell. Yeah, it's a dad thing, I think. I know Lydia's dad used to do that to her. But I think that's a lot of parents' real goal, is they don't want their kids to embarrass them. I don't really care what you do. Just make me proud. Don't embarrass me. And the problem with that is that it's selfish. It's selfish of you as a parent, and your kids will detect that. Your kids eventually will see that the goal of your parenting strategy is really not about them and not what's best for them, and it's not out of love for them. It's really all about you, and you don't want them to make you look bad. And they'll grow to resent that, and they'll grow to rebel against you, and you'll lose your influence in their life. Another wrong goal, number five, is for your kids to be a good person. For your kids to be a good person, kid to be a good person. In other words, I don't care what my kid grows up to do. I just want him to be a good person. Just be a good person, a good productive citizen. Well, there's a really, really big problem with this. You know who Bill Gates is, the founder of Microsoft. Most people would say that Bill Gates is a good person, a very good person. He is very generous with his wealth. He's one of the richest people in the world and really is a philanthropist, a humanitarian, sends so much of his money to help the poor and to a lot of charitable causes. And his products and his company have provided billions of people with tools and with jobs. And so he's done a lot of good. But the problem with Bill Gates is that he's an unbeliever. And he doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Bill Gates is going to be one of the many, many people who go to hell, even though they're good people. Because the Bible says that nobody is good in the sense that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have fallen short. All of us have some degree of sin in our lives. And the punishment for sin is eternal separation from God. And so you can raise your child to be a wonderful person, a good, good person, and they can still go to hell without Jesus Christ. And finally, here's another wrong goal of parenting, and that's to raise your kids to be successful. I just want my kids to be successful. I don't care what they do. I want them to be successful. The problem is, what definition of success are you using? How do you define success? I don't know why, but this is the second week in a row that I'm going to talk about Katy Perry. I don't listen to her music. You know, it's not, I don't know why, but she's, you know, maybe it's because we've been watching, what is it, American Idol? Is that where she's on? Yeah. But Katy Perry, I don't know if you realize this, but her parents are strong Christians. In fact, her dad was a minister at one point. And Katy Perry is very successful in the eyes of the world. I mean, she is at the top of the ladder, the top of the food chain when it comes to female pop artists. And she's very, very wealthy, very, very famous. She's adored by millions and millions of fans. But the problem is, even though she's successful in the eyes of the world, Katy Perry doesn't sing for Christ. And she doesn't live for Christ. And she sings songs that are offensive to God. And she dresses like a woman who is selling sex. And so she may be successful in the eyes of the world, but she's not truly successful. Not in the eyes of God. And so as a parent, you've got to have a a different goal than I want my kids to grow up to be successful, because success in the eyes of the world and success in the eyes of God are two very, very different things. J.C. Ryle was a pastor in the 19th century in England, and he wrote a great book that I highly recommend to parents. It's a little book on parenting. It's called, you can get it on Amazon, you can get it for Kindle, but it's called The Duties of Parents by J.C. Ryle. And I'm going to quote from him several times this morning. He said, "We live in days when there is a mighty zeal for education in every corner of the world. We hear of new schools rising on all sides. We are told of new systems and new books for the young of every sort and description. And still, the vast majority of children are not trained in the way they should go, for when they reach adulthood, they do not walk with God." What he's saying there is that back in his day, and it's very similar today, if not more so, education was a huge emphasis, and parents were really putting a lot of money and emphasis on their kids getting the very, very best education. And many of these kids were growing up very educated. But he said these children were not trained in the way they should go. The parents still failed at their job because these kids, when they grew up, as educated as they were not walking with God. They missed the purpose of parenthood. So let's get into the purpose of parenthood. What is it? Well, to understand your purpose as a parent, you have to understand your child's purpose. To understand what you're supposed to do for your child, you have to understand why they exist. Who is your child? What are they on this planet for? Why were they created? Why did God give them to you? And so let me share with you five forgotten facts about your child that you have to know if you want to hit the bullseye as far as your purpose as a parent. Five forgotten facts. And I call these forgotten because you don't learn these in school. You don't learn these in college. You're not going to hear these on TV. You're not going to hear these from Dr. Phil. As much as I like Dr. Phil, you're not going to hear these from him. You're not going to hear these on the news. You're going to hear these at church, and you're going to read about them in the Bible, and that's about it. So five forgotten facts about your child. Number one is your child belongs to God. Your child belongs to God. You have to first understand that your child does not belong to you. Now, God has put your child in your hands under your care for the time being, but they belong to Him. God created your child. God gives them every heartbeat comes from Him. Every breath is a gift from God, and He can cut it off at any moment. And God sent Jesus to die on the cross for your child and to purchase your child, to pay the penalty for your child's sins. So in every way, your child does not belong to you. They belong to God. Exodus 29:5, it says, "The earth, the whole earth is mine." It's God speaking. The whole earth is mine. Deuteronomy 10:14, "The heavens, indeed the highest heavens, belong to the Lord your God, as does the earth and everything in it." Your child belongs to God. And so here's what that means. Here's the implication. If your child belongs to God, then that means you need to raise them for Him. If your child belongs to God, you need to raise your kids in a way that pleases Him. You need to raise them according to His standards, His goals, His purpose, His mission for your child. God has a plan for your child, and your success as a parent is measured by how well you steer your child to live according to God's plan for them because they belong to Him. Number two, the second forgotten fact about your child will live forever, either in heaven or hell. Your child will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. You say, that's a sobering thought. Absolutely it is. That's why we need to talk about it. Matthew 25:46, this is the words of Jesus. He said, "And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." There are two destinations that each of us has the option of going to. You can either spend eternity when you die in heaven with God in paradise, or you can spend eternity separated from God in hell. Your child was created to live forever. When we die, we don't just cease to exist. We're not just annihilated. We don't just turn to dust and decay in, under the ground. We continue to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. And that's your child. Your child is going to heaven or they're going to hell. And that matters because the amount of time that your child is going to spend on earth is very, very small compared to the amount of time they're going to spend in eternity. Your child's going to spend about 75 years or so on this earth. And then all the rest of eternity, they're going to be spending either in heaven or in hell. And so what that means is that your focus as a parent should be primarily not about their success and their happiness in this life, where they're going to spend so little time, but you should really be focusing on their success and their happiness in eternity, where they're going to be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But what do most parents do? Most parents focus almost entirely on success and happiness in this life and almost entirely neglect the next life. And that's just, if the Bible's true, and if heaven and hell are real, then that's just really, really bad parenting. Really, really foolish. Jesus said in Luke 9:25, he said, "For what is the use of a man gaining the whole world if he loses or forfeits his own soul?" In other words, what's the point of your child growing up to be like Katy Perry, to be like Bill Gates, to gain the whole world? But yet when they die, they go to hell for eternity. Now, you can't control whether or not your child goes to heaven or hell. You cannot force your kid to accept Jesus Christ, and I don't recommend that you try to force them. That's up to them. They have to make a personal decision to follow Jesus. But you can do everything within your power. You can try your hardest to steer them in the right direction, and that's what God expects of us. J.C. Ryle, he said, train your children, knowing that the soul of your child is most important. Precious, no doubt, are these little ones in your eyes, but if you love them, think often of their souls. No interest should weigh on you so much as their eternal interests. No part of them should be as dear to you as that part which will never die. As parents, we care about our kids' teeth. We want their teeth to be clean and straight. And we care about their hair being combed nicely. And we care about the way they dress and their hygiene. And we care about their manners. And we care about their education. But none of that compares in importance to their soul, which will last forever. Okay, number three, the third forgotten fact about your child is that your child will only be happy in Christ. Your child will only be happy in Christ. You want your child to be happy. It's not your ultimate goal, but you want your child to be happy because you love them. And if you want your child to be happy, you need to steer them to the source of true, lasting happiness. Psalm 112:1 tells us the source of happiness. It says, hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Happy is the person who what? Who fears the Lord. That means they have a right relationship with God. Happy is the person who fears the Lord, taking great delight in his commands. Happiness is not found in riches, but in a rich relationship with God. Happiness is not found in being successful, but in having a successful relationship with Jesus. And so if you really want your child to be happy, you need to know that all of the riches, and you know this in theory, but do you live this in the way that you parent them? You need to know that all of the worldly success, all of the riches, all of the fame, all of the stuff, all of the material possessions, none of that stuff is going to make them happy in the end. None of that stuff is going to fill the void that we all have in our hearts. In the end, all of that can leave you feeling empty. The Puritan Thomas Watson said, "The heart is a triangle which only the Trinity can fill." Only the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, only God can fill the gap, the void in our hearts. We were created with a hole in our hearts that can only be filled by God. Augustine, many call him Saint Augustine, he said, this is one of his most famous quotes, he said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you." And so if you really want your child to be happy in life, you must steer them to the true source of happiness. You've got to steer them to God. You've got to steer them to Jesus. Number four, fourth forgotten fact about your child is that your child was created to glorify God. Now we're getting more into the purpose of your child. Your child was created to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God." Why was your child created? Why was your child put on this earth in the first place? They were created to glorify God. That's why your child exists. And it's so important to know your child's purpose, and it's so important for your child to know their purpose. Why am I here? Where did I come from? Who am I? Where am I going? You were created by God to glorify Him. The Bible says that people were created in the image of God, and that means that we were created to be image bearers. We're created, that means, to be reflections of God as we walk around. We're not little gods. No, we're God's creation, but we're created. Human beings are the only creatures that are created in the image of God. We're created to reflect His image as we walk around and do life. That means we're created to reflect His character through the way that we live, to reflect His glory, to reflect His nature through the way that we live. And that's what it means to glorify God. To glorify God is to display the greatness of God through your life, through your actions and your attitude and your sexuality and your finances and your marriage and your words and your career and your parenting and your time and your relationships, to glorify God, to reflect who He is, His greatness. The Westminster Shorter Catechism was written in 1646. The very first question, it says, "What is the chief end of man?" In other words, why do people exist? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's why your child exists. You need to know that if you want to know your purpose. And then number five, the fifth forgotten fact about your child is that God wants to use your child to lead others to Christ. God wants to use your child to lead others to Christ. Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave all of us our marching orders if we're Christians. He said, "Go therefore," this is one of the last things He said before He ascended into heaven after His resurrection. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." A disciple is a follower of Jesus. And so Jesus wants us to go out into the world and to try to make other followers of Jesus, try to lead other people to follow Jesus Christ so they can have abundant life and eternal life. And so this doesn't mean that God wants your child to be a preacher or to work full-time in a church or to be a missionary or something like that. This is the purpose of every Christian. God wants to save your child's soul, and then God wants to recruit your child to be in the soul-saving business. So whether your child is a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer or an Indian chief or whatever your child grows up to be, your child is supposed to use their talents and their resources to lead people to Jesus, to point people to Jesus Christ. Your child wasn't ultimately created to be rich or famous, even though they may be. They were created to be a mighty tool in the hand of God to lead people to Jesus. You know, David used just a stone to defeat the giant Goliath. And then he used Goliath's sword to chop his head off. Your child was created to be a stone in God's pouch, to be a sword in God's sheath. God wants to use your child as His warrior, as His soldier to accomplish His purposes on the earth. Your child wasn't created to live a safe life or a comfortable life or a luxurious life or a happy life or a fun life. Your child was created to serve God. God is on a very, very important life-saving mission on the earth, to save souls before they die, to save people, to have people believe in Jesus Christ so they can go to heaven for eternity. And God wants to use your child to accomplish that mission. Now, with that in mind, now we can settle on the purpose of parenthood. And here's the purpose, and it'll be on the screen for you, but you can write this down. This is the purpose. This is what you're trying to do. This is what God wants you to do as a parent. Your purpose as a parent is to train your child to live for the glory of God and the salvation of men. Your purpose as a parent is to train your child to live for the glory of God and the salvation of men. That's the goal we need to aim at. That's the target we need to shoot at. That's what we need to keep our eyes on. In the end, our success as parents will be measured by how well and how hard we try to steer our kids toward that purpose. To live for the glory of God and the salvation of men. Pastor Bill Hybels said it really well. This is a quote from him. He says, "The primary reason for having children is to raise shining, active, young image bearers who are motivated and trained to carry the torch of authentic Christianity to the next generation. True followers of Jesus don't have children merely for the fellowship factor, or so they can pass on property in the family name, or to avoid loneliness in their later years. They view parenting as the opportunity to invest themselves fully in the life of a child who will someday become an irresistible manifestation of God's grace and to make a difference by exercising his or her unique talents and gifts. That's our motivation for bearing and raising children and our challenge." That's our purpose, to raise our kids to serve the Lord. Now, if this is your purpose as a parent, and if this is what you embrace as your purpose, then this changes absolutely everything. It changes how you speak to your child and how you discipline your child and how you encourage them and how you point them in a certain direction. It changes how you spend your time with your child, and it changes how you allow your child to spend their time. It changes what you allow your child to watch on TV and what school you put your child in and what your child listens to and who your child hangs out with and how you advise or counsel your child. It changes everything once you know your purpose as a parent. And so let me give you 5 quick applications and then we'll close. If that's our purpose as parents, to raise our kids to live for the glory of God and the salvation of men, what does that mean for us? 5 applications. Number one is that the true purpose of parenting must be your priority. The true purpose of parenting must be your priority. Once you know really what you're supposed to do, what your job description is as a parent, you must make this your priority. You've got to organize and structure everything else in your family life around your purpose. Now I know what I'm supposed to do. Everything needs to be organized around that. Often families will schedule everything around the child's athletics, everything around the child's piano recitals, everything around the child's dancing, or everything around the child's schooling and education. And those things are, again, they're not good or bad. They can be very good. But if your purpose is to raise your kids to live for the glory of God and the salvation of man, then everything needs to take a back seat to that. That needs to be front and center, your primary purpose. If you don't have time and money to raise your kids for the glory of God and the salvation of men and piano, then piano needs to be sacrificed. And if you don't have time and money and energy and resources to raise your kids to live for God and be in sports, then sports needs to be sacrificed. This needs to be your priority. Nothing is as important as training your children to live for the glory of God and the salvation of men. And your weekly schedule needs to reflect that. Vody Balcom is a pastor, and he wrote a couple of good books on parenting. He said, "Why is it that Christian families think nothing of a lifestyle that demands hours per week, traipsing across town, blood, sweat, and tears from our children, and thousands of dollars each year from our bank accounts, but the idea of a 20-minute daily commitment to family worship immediately strikes them as too much to ask?" Why do parents, why are they willing, even Christian parents, willing to spend so much time and energy and effort pushing their kids in academics and athletics and in the arts? But if you would recommend to these Christian parents, you probably ought to be spending a few minutes every day or several days a week with your kids, sit down with them and talk about the Bible. Parents say, "Well, we just don't have time for that. We're just too busy for that." Something's wrong. Number two, the second application. The true purpose of parenting cannot be delegated. The true purpose of parenting cannot be delegated. You cannot hope that the preacher or the youth minister or the Sunday school teacher or the Christian school will train your child to live for the glory of God and the salvation of men. They can assist you. You can sign them up to help you, but you cannot delegate to them You cannot abdicate your role. You must be personally and actively involved in raising your children to live for God. J.C. Ryle, he said, "Fathers and mothers, you may send your children to the best schools, give them Bibles and prayer books, and fill them with head knowledge. But if all this time there is no regular training at home, I fear it will go hard in the end with your children's souls. Home is the place where habits are formed. Home is the place where the foundations of character are laid. And home gives the bias to our tastes and likings and opinions. Be sure then that there is careful training at home." He's talking about biblical training, spiritual training at home. Cannot be delegated. Number three, the third implication or application is that the true purpose of parenting is difficult. The true purpose of parenting is difficult. Now, parenting as it is difficult. Parenting is just a tough task. But biblical parenting is not for the weak. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for wimps. There are several forms of resistance you can expect as you embrace the true purpose of parenting. The first is internal resistance. And what I mean by that is that you will receive resistance from your child. If you're trying to steer your child to God, to live for the Lord, your child is going to resist that because your child is a sinner. And your child's natural inclination and proclivity is to live for themselves and to make themselves look good. And to make themselves feel good, not to make God feel good, not to sacrifice and deny what they want for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's not natural for us. And so you're going to face resistance from your child. Oh, we got to read the Bible again, Dad. You're going to face some resistance. So get ready for that. J.C. Ryle said that children require no schooling to learn to sin. Okay? That just comes naturally. And so you're going to face resistance from them. But you're also going to face external resistance. And what I mean by that is that the world around us is very, very evil. And the current of culture is moving away from God, not toward God. And so if you just follow culture and just do what's normal, then you're not going to be steering your child to Jesus Christ, to live for the glory of God and the salvation of men. And so really, if you're going to embrace the true biblical purpose of parenting, you're going to be swimming upstream against the current. And it's going to be very, very difficult at times. Think about it, that most parents are not raising their kids to live for God. Most schools are not structured around that purpose. Most ball coaches are not focused on the purpose, the true purpose of parenting. Most school teachers are not focused on this purpose. Most TV shows are not focused on the true purpose of parenting. In fact, most TV shows contradict the true purpose of parenting. Most of the children that your child will play with in the neighborhood and at school and on the ball team, most of those children are not being raised to live for the glory of God and the salvation of men. And those children will have an influence on your kids. And so as you're training your children to pursue God's purpose for their lives, you have to understand that you're going to receive a lot of resistance. And this is why the majority of Christian parents are failing. You know, studies are done to find out what percentage of kids who are raised in church continue with God whenever they grow up. Lots and lots of studies are done on this. It's an important question. And the research shows that between 70 and 88% of kids who are raised in church, by their second year of college, they've left. They've left, not just stopped going to church. They're not praying. They're not reading their Bible. And they're not going to church. They're just spiritually disengaged. So think about the percentage of the kids in this room. Think if 70 to 88% of the students in this room, by the time they reach their second year in college, they're gone. They're no longer living for God, no longer going to church, no longer reading their Bibles, no longer praying, they're gone. That's the failure rate of Christian parents in America. So don't assume that this task is easy. And don't assume just because you mean well and just because you love God that your kids are going to grow up to do the same. Number four, fourth application, is that the true purpose of parenting is more than salvation. The true purpose of parenting is more than salvation. Our goal as parents is not just to get our kids to heaven. It's to get our kids to live for Christ on this earth. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised." Jesus didn't just die on the cross for us to go to heaven. And that's a big part of why he died on the cross for us, to pay for our sins so that we don't go to hell. But Jesus also died for us so that we would live not for ourselves, but to live for him while we're on earth. And that's why, as parents, we're not just trying to get our kids to believe in Jesus so they'll go to heaven when they die. Our goal is to get them to live for Christ, to be committed to God's glory. Edward W. Hooker was a pastor in Connecticut in the 19th century. He wrote a book called Children to be Educated for Christ, a good book. He said, "Desire the early conversion of your children, that they have the longest possible time in this world to serve Christ." That's a man who understood the purpose of parenting. What he was saying is, don't desire the early conversion of your children to make sure that they go to heaven, but desire that your kids become Christians, true Christians, early in life so that they'll have more time to live for God and make a difference for Christ. Number five, the fifth application, is that you will be held accountable. You will be held accountable. One day you're going to die, and you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to hold you accountable for what you were called to do and commanded to do, and that is to raise your kids for the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God will bring every act to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil." God has charged you with the sacred and the sobering task of raising up his kids for him. Think of your house as a boarding school. And you're the teacher. You're the director of this boarding school. And those kids are not yours. You're just taking care of them for about 18 years. They belong to God. And at the end of those 18 years, God is going to come by and pick them up, and he's going to expect them to be ready to live for the glory of God and the salvation of men the rest of their lives, to be fully dedicated to him. And if God stopped by your house this past week to check on the progress that you're making and raising those kids for the glory of God and the salvation of men, what would God think? How are you doing? Are you headed in the right direction? Is your family schedule and routine, is it lined up the way it should be? Because that's the reality of it, that one day we will be held accountable. Now, as we close, you may be thinking, what does this have to do with Easter? Well, if Jesus rose from the grave, then that changes everything. Absolutely everything. Think about this. If Jesus rose from the grave, then he is who he says he is. And if he is who he says he is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the way, the truth, and the life, if Jesus is who he says he is, then that means what he said is also true. His teachings are true. Think about what Jesus taught. He taught that the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus taught that he's the only way to eternal life. Jesus taught that he is not only Savior, but Lord, and that we should live our lives for him. Jesus taught that there is a heaven and a hell, and they're both for eternity. Jesus taught that one day God will judge every person according to their actions. If Jesus rose from the grave, then he is who he says he is, and what he said is true. And if Jesus rose from the grave, then that means that the purpose of parenting changes. If Jesus rose from the grave, then he's the Savior, and so we must point our children to him for eternal life. If Jesus is who he says he is, then he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and we have to point our children to serve him and to live for him and to submit to him. If Jesus is who he says he is, then he is the way, the truth, and the life, abundant life. And if we want our kids to be happy, we need to point them to him. In other words, the purpose of parenting is to raise our kids to live for the glory of God and the salvation of men because Jesus rose from the grave. If he didn't rise from the grave, then none of this matters. But he did. Jesus is alive. He's alive. And he loves you and he loves your children. And he's got a wonderful plan for them. But it's different than the way most people in this world are raising their kids. But it's the most rewarding way to raise your kids. And it's the best way, because your kids will spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we close? Let's come to a moment of reflection. This morning, you may be in here as a parent, and you may realize, I don't think I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't think I have a real relationship with God. I know about God. I believe in God, but I don't know God. I haven't personally committed my life to Jesus Christ. I haven't personally asked Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord. I haven't handed over the steering wheel of my life to Jesus. And if that's you, if you haven't given your life to Christ, then if you died today, you would go to hell. And today may be the last opportunity you have to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. And so right now where you sit, whether you're a parent or a child, if you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, if you don't know for sure that you are a Christian, that Jesus is your Savior, then you can know for sure. You can nail that down right now by asking Jesus to come into your life and to save you. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. With nobody looking around, every eye closed, would you just take a moment, if you want to become a Christian right now, and if you want to align your life with the God of the universe, the God who created you and the God who created your child, if you want to get aligned with Him and His purpose for your life, if you want salvation, then right now, just ask for it in your heart. Say, God, I believe in you. I believe in Jesus. He died and rose again, and I want you to be my Savior and Lord. Right now, in the quiet of your heart, give yourself to Christ. Give yourself to God. Say, God, I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. I deserve hell. Please save me. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so still with nobody looking around but me, every head bowed and every eye closed, let me pray for you if you just invited Jesus to come into your life to be your Savior and Lord. And if you're just starting the Christian life right now, with nobody looking around, I'm the only one. When I count to three, I just want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. Nobody's going to see but me. Just raise your hand so I can pray for you. One, two, three. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Right now, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ? Okay, you can put your hands down. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray for those, Lord, who are giving their lives to you right now, who are asking Jesus to come into their lives to save them, Lord. We pray that you would help them to grow and become the people that you want them to be, Lord. Change them, give them perspective, open their eyes to see the truth of who you are and of who you want them to be, and of the kind of parents that you want them to be. And Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.